I don't know if you know the topics ahead of time. Do they, Mike? No, this is a surprise. I'm going to speak about baptism.
No, I'm kidding. No, I'm going to speak about... My son was ordained in a Presbyterian church, and they believe in infant baptism, and I don't. I'm a Baptist. And so he asked me to speak at his ordination. And I said, Elliot, what shall I speak about? And he said, just don't embarrass me, please. So I didn't speak on baptism. Okay, we're going to speak about the gift of prophecy tonight. And let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you once again for the time of refreshment, for the time of reflection on your word, for the afternoon to rest or to walk or to see this part of the world, for the fellowship you give us together. And now, Lord, we thank you for all the spiritual gifts that you have given, and we pray especially for your wisdom and for your understanding tonight about this gift of prophecy. And Lord, I ask even that if there are some here in whom you have awakened that gift, that you would stir it up anew. And for others, perhaps, if there is a longing in their hearts for this gift, that you would impart it to them and that it would be used in ways that are pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to say about this topic as well. Is this a little too loud? A little bit too loud? Maybe we can turn it down just a bit. It's just popping. Okay. How's that? All right? It's no different. It's okay. There is a book that I have called The Gift of Prophecy in the New Testament and Today. Is this too loud? Yes, it's too loud. This is making up for the first day when it was too quiet. Now, how is that? Now, is it better? Now is it too loud? It's okay. I don't want to hurt your ears. Well, yes, I could adjust the volume here myself, couldn't I? How's that? Better? Okay. Thank you. What is your name? What is your name?
Peter,
you are a genius. Okay. The book is The Gift of Prophecy in the New Testament and Today, published by Crossway in the United States and by Kingsway in the United Kingdom. This is a short version with more practical things of my doctoral dissertation at the University of Cambridge. And that was on the gift of prophecy in 1 Corinthians. Now, I have to say something about that. I used to think that if someone wrote a PhD dissertation on a topic, that he knew what was the right answer to the topic. But I've read enough dissertations now to realize that people who write PhD dissertations don't necessarily know the right answer. They just know so much that no one else can persuade them that they are wrong. So I might not be right on this, but you probably can't change my mind about it, that's all. All right, you have an outline here, the gift of prophecy. Yours is green, and it says the gift of prophecy is a blessing and a challenge today. Now I'm going to be working off this outline with the overhead projector. It's a blessing and a challenge today. It's a blessing, if you believe, as I do, that this gift exists today. It's a blessing because the New Testament calls it a blessing. It views it very positively. And so Paul can say, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So Paul is telling them that this is a gift that is to be desired. They are to pursue it. Or 1 Corinthians 14:4, the one who prophesies builds up the church. Do you want to build up the church? Sure. Well, then wouldn't this be a good gift to have? And he says in 1 Corinthians 14:39, so my brothers earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. And so it's a blessing, but it's a challenge. And throughout the history of the church, this gift has been a challenge because it has been misused and people have elevated it to a role equal to the Word of God. And then it has led to doctrinal errors and to abuses. And so I think of it as a power tool. If you're working as a carpenter and you have a power saw, it's a very useful tool to cut through timber or lumber. But the power saw is dangerous, and it can be misused. And so with the gift of prophecy, it's, I think, a very good gift, but also it's a challenge because it can be misused. Now, here's the definition. Reporting something that God spontaneously brings to mind. Reporting something that God spontaneously brings to mind. We're sitting here, perhaps in a church meeting at the church at Corinth, and all of a sudden, Christy, God brings something to mind, and she raises her hand, or she stands up, and she says, I think God is showing me this, or that, or this, or that. And so I think that's what Paul would call the gift of prophecy. Reporting something that God spontaneously brings to mind. It is based on a revelation from God. It's based on a revelation from God. Now, if you want to look at these verses with me, 1 Corinthians 14:30. 1 Corinthians 14:30. I'll start with 1 Corinthians 14:29. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. Paul is speaking about prophecy. And then he says, if a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent, for you can all prophesy one by one. But do you see in verse 30, if a revelation is made to another sitting by? And that's the apokalupto, apokalypsis, word group, and it means something that God shows to you or reveals to you. So if Christy is standing and giving a prophecy, and then God shows something to Alexi, then that would be if a revelation comes to another one sitting by, then Christy should be silent so Alexi could speak and tell what God has brought to his mind. So it's based on a revelation from God. Or 1 Corinthians 14:25. Paul says, I'll start with verse 24, if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all, the secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. I heard of this happening in a non-charismatic Baptist church, a very conservative Baptist church in the United States one time, where a visiting missionary was speaking in the church one evening, and in the middle of his talk, he stopped and he said, I have this sense that there's someone here who has just left his wife and family, and you're in despair. And if that is you, I want to encourage you that there is hope for you in God, and you need to go back to your wife and family and be a husband and father that he called you to be. He didn't know why he said that. Unknown to him, in the dark balcony of the church, was a man who had just wandered in a few minutes earlier, and he had indeed walked out on his wife and family in despair, not knowing what to do, and he came forward and made himself known. Paul says the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. He would say only God could have made that known. There's a story in the life of Charles Spurgeon, the famous preacher in London in the 19th century. And I have it in the back of in an appendix in this book on the gift of prophecy on page 356. Charles Spurgeon Spurgeon says, there were many instances of remarkable conversions at the music hall where he was preaching. One especially was so singular that I have often related it as proof that sometimes God guides his servants to say what they themselves would otherwise never have thought of saying, in order that he may bless the hearer for whom the message is personally intended. While preaching in the hall on one occasion, I deliberately pointed to a man in the midst of the crowd and said, now this was thousands of people, but anyway, and said, there's a man sitting here who is a shoemaker. He keeps his shop open on Sundays. It was open last Sabbath morning. He took 9 pence, and there was 4 pence profit out of it. His soul is sold to Satan for 4 pence. Later, a city missionary was going on his rounds in London and met with this man, and seeing that he was reading one of my sermons, he asked the question, do you know Mr. Spurgeon? Yes, replied the man, I have every reason to know him. I have been to hear him, and under his preaching, by God's grace, I have become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Shall I tell you how it happened? I went to the music hall and took my seat in the middle of the place. Mr. Spurgeon looked at me as if he knew me, and in his sermon he pointed to me and told the congregation that I was a shoemaker and that I kept my shop open on Sundays. And I did, sir. I should not have minded that, but he also said that I took 9 pence the Sunday before, and there was 4 pence profit out of it. I did take 9 pence that day, and 4 pence was just the profit. But how he should know that, I could not tell. Then it struck me that it was God who had spoken to my soul through him, so I shut up my shop the next Sunday. At first, I was afraid to go hear him again. Lest he should tell the people more about me. But afterwards I went, and the Lord met me and saved my soul. Spurgeon says, I could tell as many as a dozen similar cases in which I pointed at somebody in the hall without having the slightest knowledge of the person or any idea that what I said was right, except I believed I was moved by the Spirit to say it. So the secrets of his heart are revealed. That is, it's based on something that God brings to mind. Could Spurgeon have been wrong in that? Yes, he could have been wrong. And I think he was very bold to point to someone. I don't think I would do that. In fact, I'm going to counsel you against it later on. But I'm just saying that this has happened at times throughout history where God brings something to mind. Agabus in Acts 11:28 is another instance of saying something based on what God had revealed or brought to mind. Acts 11:28. Now in these days, I'll start with verse 27. In these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit. So here he's a prophet, and he's telling something by the Spirit, that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So in the one case, it's telling something present, the secret of someone's heart. In another case, it's telling something future, a famine. But in both cases, it's something that God reveals or brings to mind. Acts 21, 10 to 11. Acts 21, 10 to 11. Here's Paul at Caesarea, verse 10. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Again, something that has been revealed to Agabus that he reports. It's based on something that God brings to mind. Now, I think that any Christian can receive these. Why? Because Acts 2 talks about the new covenant. Acts 2, 17 to 18. And this is how Joel predicts the new covenant, and Peter says that the new covenant has begun to be fulfilled. Acts 2, 17 to 18. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Again, I mentioned this the other day. I think that young men, old men, sons, daughters, male servants, female servants, it's a way of taking in all of God's people. And the Holy Spirit is poured out on them. And so and then they shall prophesy or have dreams or visions. And so I think that it's possible for God to bring things to mind for any Christian. And 1 Corinthians 14:1, which I looked at before, Paul says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. He's encouraging people to desire this. So now the question is, does God give you things like that from time to time, bring things to mind from time to time? You don't have to answer me now, but I expect in a room this size, there are some of you for whom this happens more often than others, perhaps fairly frequently, where you just know what the need of someone's heart is, or God just brings to mind someone that you should go see, and that person had just need of a visitation at that time, or you just have a sense that you need to phone someone, and then that was just what God, and it was someone you hadn't thought of for a long time, or perhaps from time to time, God will show you something in a dream, and you're waking up and you say, I think that was from God. And that has happened to me occasionally, not too often, but a few times. And I think, honestly, that has been a frequent experience of many Christians throughout history. Sometimes in little ways, just a sense of what God wants you to do or wants you to say, and sometimes it's more dramatic or vivid, or words would come to mind, or even a mental picture of something that you know has meaning. And so if that is the case in your life, if that has happened to you from time to time, and you may not have known what it was, I think the New Testament would call that, or at least something like, for the gift of prophecy. Now, prophecy is normally spoken out to others, for not just personally revealed, so there's a second half. It has to be spoken out. But I think that that's the category of experience that the New Testament is talking about, and that it's apart from your normal thought process that God suddenly brings something to mind. And if he gives you those from time to time, then that's what I'm talking about tonight. And I think for many Christians it happens occasionally, and for some more often. But now, prophecy today can never equal the Bible in authority. And here's where people make mistakes. They say, God showed me something, therefore it must be true. And then they do all sorts of stupid things, sometimes, because maybe God does show them something the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, and then the fifth time, it's just their own imagination. Or it's perhaps the enemy bringing in a deception. Or God shows them something and they add their own interpretation to it. And so there's a caution here. This, I think, is a good gift and it's useful, but it always must be tested by the Word of God, and it always must be subject to Scripture in authority. Now, I have these several passages on the transparencies. The first one here is Acts 21:4.
And having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit, they were telling, it's an imperfect elegon here, through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. It's more than one person. It seemed to be occurring over a period of time. And it's through the Spirit. It's just, remember, Agabus, through the Spirit, a prophet told something. So it doesn't use the word prophecy here, but I think it is prophecy because it's through the Spirit that they're speaking. And I think what is happening is that the Holy Spirit has shown to these Christians that Paul is going to suffer in Jerusalem. And so they say, don't go. But what does Paul do? And when our days were ended, we departed and went on our journey. He was on his way to Jerusalem. How can this be? There's speech here that comes through the Holy Spirit at Tyre, and Paul disobeys it. If this was Samuel or Isaiah or Jeremiah speaking the very words of God, Paul would not have disobeyed. So I think something different is happening here from Old Testament prophecy. I think that this gift is given much more widely to thousands of God's people, millions, but it has a reduced authority. Just as in the Old Testament, there were only a very few priests. But now what? How many priests in the church? All Christians are priests. So the priesthood was very limited to a certain group in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it's dispersed to all believers have become priests. So in the Old Testament, there were certain prophets. But in the New Testament, it's dispersed to multiple people. Not everyone, because different gifts are given to different people, but to many people. And here, so they disobeyed. And Paul disobeyed, and I think that indicates there's a less authority than Scripture or than Old Testament prophets. There are some other verses that I think would indicate this as well. What do I have here? I could look at some other verses in addition to this, but